I labored with what to preach tonight because, of course, we're coming up on revival tomorrow, and I challenge you. I know I don't like to trick people and have them commit and try to twist their arm, but how many of you, I'm not asking if you'll be here every night, although I'd love that to happen, but I know schedules turn into different things and work and whatnot, but how many of you would be praying that God would do a great work here in our revival? Would you join me in prayer? Don't forget, you raise your hand up and be praying for you as you go throughout your day tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Lord, bless that meeting. If you've got to work and you pray while you're at work and just pray, Lord, bless us. Bless the church tonight, because I really do believe as our world gets increasingly worse, we just need to become more and more tied to our faith. You don't get more tied to your faith so that you're more going more to heaven. If you're in, you're in. I mean, salvation, as we're going to look tonight again, is through Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. If you're saved, you don't have to get more saved. You don't have to really get saved. And one old preacher said, it's like going to the funeral home. You don't have some that are dead and some that are really dead over here. You either are or you're not. And so I'm not talking about you get more tied to your faith so that you can make it to heaven, but I'm telling you, we need to get more tied to our faith so that we don't get shaken in this world as everything is coming at us. And so thank you for agreeing to pray. I'll pray with you. You pray with me that the Lord would give us a wonderful revival services over the next few days. And I do believe that it will be an old-timey camp meeting, tent meeting, revival service type thing that you've heard about, many of us, but maybe never been to, and I trust that you'll be here for it as well. Well, we're looking at Galatians, so I said I tried to labor on what to preach and where to go, but I just felt like we should just continue on Galatians. You know, we've been, as I've been preaching on Sunday nights anyways, going through the book of Galatians, and here we stand at the Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. And so actually, we won't really leave that verse, just one verse tonight. And I got, as I was looking it through some commentaries some time back, and some old commentaries, and boy, it's amazing. My son, Jared, is going through, I think he's going to a master's class he started taking after he graduated, and the book of Jude, which is a very short book, you know, but he's got one of the books, rather, is one of his class. And so the book of Jude, you know, it's only just a little thing, but this book that he's got about Jude is about that thick. I said, boy, that guy was long-winded. You take something that short and you made something that long out of it to talk about that was that short. But there's a lot in there. And so I got reading an old commentary of Galatians. And boy, if you'd read that, you might never get out of Galatians. But we'll look at verse number 1 tonight and trust it'll be a blessing as we get started. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, Galatians 5:1, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So I want you to look back at verse number 31 of the previous chapter. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And so last week, of course, on Sunday nights, we had Lord's Supper, so I was out of it. And then the Sunday before that, Amy's brother, our pastor, was here, and so I was out of it as well. But the last time that we looked in on a Sunday night about this, we were talking about that bondwoman and the free woman, how that was a picture of law and grace, and how God just drove it in deep on these Galatians, that we are not under that bondage of the law, but instead freedom of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how that last verse of chapter 4 ends, but of the free. And so the apostle didn't leave any stone unturned in that bold declaration of the truth of the gospel by faith, through grace, through Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. And it's almost as if he, as God used him to finish up verse number 31 of chapter 4, then he moves on into, and the chapter title, chapter divisions, not inspired. That's just men put those on there. But we see, as for clarification, we see in our verse number 1 of chapter 5, then the word of God goes on to says, stand fast therefore. So it's almost as if he said, here's all these things, now do something about it. Kind of like a coach that's given the last pep talk, the last speech, and he's done all he can. He's already trained you for all these months, and now the game is here, and he's saying, okay, you know what to do now. Get out there. And so as God's using the apostle to write to these people in Galatia to say that Abraham was justified by faith and not by works, and the law was given to bring us to faith and all of these things, and he says, now stand right there. And so I want to preach for that a little bit tonight. And as we stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these next moments, dear Lord, so we might drive some stakes down even further than they are. And I pray that you'd embolden us in our faith. I pray that you'd get us ready for revival. I pray that you'd get us ready for the week. I pray, dear Lord, you'd get us ready for all that the world throws at us. And Lord, I realize that people are going through so many different things right now. And I pray that I don't even have any clue what their need, but I know you do. Bless in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. It's amazing when somebody comes to church, and I've had it happen to me so many times I couldn't count it, that somebody will say after church, they'll say, Pastor, that was such a good thought or such a good thing. Here's how God really worked in my heart. And then I'm stepping back. I just say, praise the Lord, thank you. But I'm thinking inside, well, I'm glad you got that out of that message, because that's not at all what I was trying to preach. But isn't it amazing how the Holy Ghost of God takes things to our hearts and will minister to you, minister to me, maybe even in a way that the pastor, he'll never minister contrary to the Word of God. You'll always find it go in line with the Bible, but a pastor would never even have necessarily meant it that way, but the Lord sure meant it to you for that way. And I have no idea what folks are going through tonight, but I know the Lord does. And I'm called upon to perform an impossible task, and that is to give you what you need, but I don't know what it is, number one. And if I did, I couldn't perform it, but the Lord can. And so as we make our way through this next little path, this one little verse tonight, then I trust that the Lord would just minister to you. And we look at this first verse of chapter 5, and we see the apostles winding down, and he reiterates he's going to get ramped up again, of course, as maybe next week or whenever we get back into it. But he's winding down now, and he just gives them that final oomph to say stand. And so I want you to see, first of all, in this verse that we're supposed to stand for our position. Stand fast, therefore, the Bible says. We know what, when they see that therefore, you say, what's it there for? And it's because of the chapters previous, because of all these things that God has used Paul to bring to these Galatians. He says, because of that, stand in them. I think about Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God's big on this thing of standing. Sometimes we want to say, well, I'm going to charge ahead. And sometimes you're supposed to charge ahead. But you understand, sometimes you don't have the strength to charge ahead. All you can do is just say, God, I'm going to stand right here. And I'm just going to be faithful where you want me to be. And the apostle says in that position, stand fast, therefore, stand right there. I think about as we stand for our position, because that's what he's literally saying. This position that's been reiterated here, it's been identified and been proclaimed here. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So he's not saying just pick a place and stand. He's saying stand in the place where the Word of God says. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. There are many folks that are very passionate about their position. But you and I need to be not only passionate about our position, we need to make sure that we have the right position to be passionate about. Can I tell you that there are a lot of people in our world that are right now that are very sincere in what they're promoting, but they're sincerely wrong. Now, I challenge you not to be so cruel and unkind to people. And sometimes we just get those gotcha moments where we say, well, and we'll just try to fillet somebody's position. You might remember that they may be holding that position in all sincerity and honesty and really trying to do the best thing they can. That's why I challenge everybody to stand kindly. You know, you can be nice, but stand strong. Christians are supposed to be the kindest people in the world. Being kind doesn't mean that we water down the message and say, oh, whatever you want to believe is fine. We're a nice group of Christians. Kindness is saying, I have to stand here because this is what the Bible thus saith the Lord, but I'm going to do it nicely. Amen. And so we see here that there are people that they'll stand on a lot of different things. And I'm always heartbroken when I hear people that stand and they do such a good job, but the place where they stand is not right. Let me give you an illustration. There are many people that really stand strong about the impossibility of God sending anyone to hell. And I don't like that thought either. I like what an old preacher said, if you've got a pastor who doesn't preach against hell, then shame on you, you shouldn't have that one. But if you've got one that enjoys preaching about it, shame on him. Because nobody likes that. But it's the truth. Let's say that we all got together and we made a pact that we would all deny, because it doesn't seem a kind thing to say, that we would all deny that hell exists and nobody ever has to worry about going there. All of us in this room, we say, you know, we're just gonna come together and all agree together that that doesn't exist. I'd have to ask you the question, does that change the fact? It doesn't. No matter how much we wish something weren't true, no matter how we mourn over some of our neighbors, friends, and even loved ones, then unless they repent and get saved, that's where they're headed. The fact that I deny something, you deny something, we come together and all deny it, doesn't change the truth. And when people, they proclaim things, they're contrary to the Word of God. We just take your pick. It's like a Heinz 57 variety out those doors about whatever's on television, on newscasts, and you just take your pick of what erroneous teaching you want to shoot at, and it's out there. And I believe that's why the Word of God tries to equip us and says in this verse, stand fast on your position. I've already told you, be nice about it. We don't tell our neighbors that the message of the Scripture and say, aha, we're going to get you eventually. Well, that's not our desire. We want everybody to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we've got to stand politely in Christ's likeness with grace, compassionately, in honor and love, but you need to stand. So number one, stand for our position, not our position, the Bible position. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. But I want you to see not only standing for your position, but also in this verse, the beauty of the position. And I'll explain what I mean by that. With Christ hath made us free. Wherewith? It's a wonderful thing in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Sometimes people will say about their finances, I'm in a good spot. Maybe they're getting ready for retirement, or they are doing retirement calculators to try to figure out if they got enough money coming in to carry them through, depending on how long they live. And I know that's always a thing. Well, if you knew you was going to live to be 110, then you'd want a little bit more. If you knew you was going to die early, you'd say, well, let's party it up. I got enough till then. I was talking with Amy and said, well, if I make it to 52, let's just go out with a bang. She said, we're going to live longer than that. That's only 2 years off. But people talk about that, and they want to be in a good position financially. We call that at home in West Virginia. We say, you're sitting pretty, right? You're sitting pretty. You got it made. You're in the shade. You got it settled. You're sitting pretty. Well, the great position that Jesus Christ, because of his work on the cross, the great position that he left us in, we can say, we're sitting pretty. Amen. We're in a great spot. Amen. I'm not working for my salvation as a good thing, because I fail so much. Even after God saved me, I wasn't able to get it. I'm not able to keep it, but I'm sitting pretty. And that's what the Scripture says, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ has set us pretty. And I believe that's why, humanly speaking, it must have been so hard for the Apostle Paul, as God was inspiring to write these things, that must have been why it was so hard for him humanly to understand, why are you people going back into what you came out of? You're going back into that Jewish law and wanting to bring some of that into here and put these restrictions on people so that now they've got to do this so that you'll accept them. He said, stand fast in that liberty whereas Christ hath made you free. Now, sometimes in today's culture, there's a tendency in Christian work to say, oh, see, that means that you can just go do whatever you want. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We joked a little bit about this morning that if the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That means you're free. You can do anything you want. Yes, but that doesn't mean you as a wife or you as a husband are supposed to be unfaithful to your husband or your spouse. doesn't mean that you're supposed to, as your children, you've got them to raise. Well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I can raise them however I want. No, biblically, you're only allowed to raise them one way, according to the Word of God. Amen. You say, am I free? Yes. You're free to do exactly what the Bible says. So our freedom in Christ is not just to say, oh, well, throw all governors off. I need to live however I want to. Our freedom in Christ is that I don't have to lay awake at night saying, did I do good enough to get into heaven if I don't make it tonight? We have freedom in Christ. Amen. I go to bed tonight with a freedom on my heart. I may worry and I shouldn't, but I may worry about other things that are going on in my family, in the church or whatever, but I don't lay awake worrying about, well, is my religion good enough to get me in? I'm in like Flynn. I'm so sure of it. I'm like as already there. And so we see the beauty of our position. I'll illustrate it like this. I was in high school and one of my friends started liking this girl. And she had come from a really good family. It's all that I knew, at least from the outside. Wonderful house, great opportunities. But she had gotten tired of that. And so she ran from home, ran away. And eventually got in the foster care system and got placed in this other home. It was actually in the same county or next county over, possibly. And that's when I pick up and started knowing her because of the guy, one of my friends started dating her. And I looked at the way that she was living. This is just a worldly illustration. But I'm looking at the house that she's living in. It's not that great. And I happen to know where her mom and dad lived. Now, obviously, I don't know all the ins and outs, so I'm not the greatest judge, but I'm talking about from where I was looking. I'm looking, you're living at this, but you used to live at that. You're getting by with this when you used to have all of that. You had your own car over there, and now you've got this. And I imagine that somewhat like the Apostle Paul when he's looking at these Galatians and saying, you've got freedom in Christ, but you want to go back under the Jewish law? You've got freedom in Christ, but now you want to observe days and you want to observe these rituals and you want to have these restraints put on you just so that you can feel religious. And I see the beauty not only of standing for our position, but the beauty of our position. The Bible says in John chapter 8 that if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you're saved tonight by the grace of God, you are the freest of anybody on this world because your sins are taken care of. I see the beauty of our position. But I want you to look at the end of the verse. And as I said, we'll just get through one. Strangely enough, and you can blame that old commentary on this. But then I see the beauty of our position, but then I see the shame from retreating from our position. And so the apostle, under inspiration of God, gives at the end of the verse, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Remember, look at what the last word in verse number 31 of the previous chapter is, free. And Paul says, don't get back in bondage. The contrast is so blatant there. He says, this is what Christ gives you. Now, don't go back into that. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You remember kids when they would see their sister or sibling of some of the siblings do something. Shame, shame. Everybody knows your name. It's as if the Apostle Paul is saying, shame, shame on you, going back into that. I'm not saying that, but in that kind of thinking, everybody knows your name. Why would you go back into that? I don't know if you remember or not, but do you remember, you don't have to answer out loud, but do you remember what it was like when you worried about whether heaven or hell was going to be your destination? Or maybe you didn't wonder, you just knew full well it was hell. Do you remember what that was like when you didn't have that assurance of salvation? I remember lying awake at night. I doubted my salvation for so many years when I was a teenager, and God finally gave victory over that. But I remember going to bed, worrying about what my destination was if I didn't make it. My friend, that's not living in freedom. That's in bondage. And there's many people today that are trying to live a good life. I watched a video of some famous individual. And they said, well, I'm hoping that I do enough good to outweigh the bad that I'd done. And I thought, what a horrible way to live. Number one, it's unbiblical. Number two, it's impossible. But number three, it's not very freeing either. And the apostle says, why would you go back into that bondage? I want you to think about this, and it's not my intent on necessarily this part of the message, but if we know that salvation, when I got saved, was not one part me and 99 parts Jesus, it wasn't 10 parts John and 90 parts Jesus, it wasn't any mixture of that whatsoever. We know the Bible is very clear that salvation comes only through trusting, relying, and turning our lives to Jesus Christ, looking from all that I can do and looking to Him. So it's all in Him. So we know that's salvation. But then sometimes after that, then we start thinking, yes, that's true. You had to come to Him in faith. You had to repent and turn to Christ, and you had to do that. Yes, we understand that was all Him. But then somehow we kind of insinuate now that the keeping of it is kind of a 50-50 deal. God keeps me and I keep myself. But just reason this out, if I couldn't do anything to get it, what would make me think I could do anything to keep it? And I'm not being unkind to folks that have differences of opinions about that, but biblically, if we know that salvation was found alone in Jesus Christ, then the continuation of that or the assurance of that has got to be found in the same person that secured it at the beginning. And so the apostle is saying here, since that's true, why under heaven, why on earth would you go try to go back in that yoke of bondage and put some of these man-made rules on yourselves? We do have a tendency to want to be religious. Did you ever notice that? It makes us feel good. If you do something wrong, don't you want to pay a little bit of penance, kind of? We want to, if we do wrong to our family, we want to not only say, I'm sorry, but we want to prove it to them. We kind of like it if they say, okay, if you do that and you'll clean the house, then I'll forgive you. Are you the only one that does that, Amy? I thought everybody did that. I didn't know. But we have this desire to kind of be religious. It makes us feel good. That's why some people come to church, not because they want to worship God Almighty, but, well, it just makes me feel like I did what I was supposed to do. And I thank God for duty. I've come many times to church just because that's where I'm supposed to be. I get all that. I appreciate that. But we have this desire in us to be religious. And I believe that's what's driving some of these folks that go back into that yoke of bondage, because that makes them feel like they are doing something. My friend, just remember, you can lean back in the arms of Jesus Christ. You didn't get anything to provide salvation. You didn't do anything to get Him on the cross, I mean, except for our sins. You didn't do anything to help Him get out of the grave. He did it all. The deal was signed, sealed, and delivered all through Jesus Christ. Why on earth, as the apostle says, would you be entangled again with the yoke of bondage that you got saved out of? When I laid awake at night worried about not going to heaven, that was bondage. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Why would I want what I got out of? And so we see that there's the shame of retreating from our position. Why would you go back to that position? Why would you go back to something that that didn't satisfy, didn't provide any assurance, didn't provide any salvation for you? As the song goes, it says, where could I go but to the Lord? Why would you want to go anywhere else? You know, like Eve, when she came to Adam and said, Adam, am I the I just feel she was insecure. I feel like, is there, do you love me? And he said, who else? He said, who else? Eve, Adam, the first ones. You know, there wasn't anybody else. I'm just bringing you along slow as I can, trying to help you. But there's no place to go. And if you're saved, you've come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, there's no other place that you need to go. I'm thankful that you come to church. I hope you come every time the doors are open. That's the way we've always preached it, that you ought to. I think it's a good thing. But you don't come to get saved. You don't come to get more saved. You don't come to get better saved. You don't come to get further saved. You don't come to get any of that. You come to just get along with around God's people and listen and preach and hear the preaching and singing and praise the Lord. But you don't do it to say, wow, now God's really going to like me. He's going to like let me in heaven. He already really likes you. That's why he sent his son to die for you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you because he really loved you, not only liked you. So if we were going back to what used not to satisfy would be in my notes, I thought about this. It'd be like us putting outdoor toilets out there somewhere, putting a big potbelly stove, a few of them in this auditorium because it takes more than one. And going back to something that didn't service us so well back then, but we just want to go back to that. And that's what some of these Galatians were facing, some Judaizers, some people trying to pull them back into some man-made and some Old Testament, the rituals. I would just tell you like my dad says about those outhouses and things. He said, John, sometimes the good old days weren't all that good. He said, I like just going down the hall to use the restroom instead of having to go out back. And so the Old Testament, some of those, the days and the seasons and the feasts and all that, they were all good. But they were all pointing to Jesus Christ, and he fulfilled so much of that. We don't have to go back after that's been fulfilled and then pick up some of those just out of our religious desires. So the apostle wants to fly the flag to all those wrong teaching, So that all the wrong teachers, those Galatians are getting, those Judaizers are trying to pull them back into that. And he wants to fly the flag. He says, stand fast in this liberty that you've gotten, wherewith Christ hath made us free. And he says, as he's standing fast, be not entangled with those things. There's no other biblical position to take. We've got the stand for our position. You've got the beauty of this position. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And then shame on us for trying to put rules back on somebody to get them further into heaven. Let's just stand there fast, therefore, and let our church, as good pastors over these years, have held that banner to say it's about Jesus Christ and him alone. This old church has taken a lot of hits. People have come in and tried to put false doctrine in, have tried to put additional requirements on people for salvation, baptism, and this and this and this. And the old church has just stood, as the apostle said, has tried to stand therefore fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us, dear Lord, I pray, to stand. Lord, this is nothing new tonight. This is old. But once again, dear Lord, there are folks that are trying to add additional requirements. Oh, maybe not for salvation, but to be really in good fellowship, you ought to do this. Lord, help us to keep it doctrinally pure and stand fast. And we'll thank you for it. Folks, I just talked to you for a minute. Sometimes a church like this gets a little bit waylaid because we might have some rule for somebody to be a deacon, a pastor. But just because you have requirements for the pastor, well, these are the type of people we're looking for when you called me to be the pastor. These are the kind of things we're looking for. We want somebody that's this, this, and this. Well, you weren't saying those things need to be done so that man could be saved. You were saying those things need to be present for that man to be our pastor. Big difference. And we might say the same thing in Sunday school teacher. If you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, we need you to do this. That doesn't mean you need to do that in order to come. Doesn't mean you need to do that in order to be saved. Doesn't need to mean that you need to do that in order to be a member in good standing. But let's all bring it back down to this thing of salvation, and we're standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath given us. Father, bless us again as our prayer. Oh, we're sure thankful to be saved. And I pray that somebody has seen the light tonight to remind themselves that they're not going to heaven because of you and them. We're not going to heaven 90% for Jesus' sake and 10% of my good works. Lord, if they're saved, they're going to heaven only through the shed blood, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank you for it. Bless us, we ask, in this invitation time. Amen. As they play, if you're able to, would you stand together? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe there's something heavy on your heart and God has revealed it to you tonight and you'd like to come and just give it to Him. You need somebody to pray with you? We'd be glad to do that. Maybe you need to come pray for yourself, then the altar's open. Maybe you don't need to do either one of those, but you certainly want to make an altar out of your pew there or your seat, and you just want to give some things to the Lord. Don't leave this place without doing what God has led you to do. Maybe you're one of the ones that have gotten it kind of mixed up. And God straightened some things out. Well, praise His name for it. Maybe God ministered to you in a way that I didn't even mean to preach about. Well, praise the Lord for that. If you're here tonight, that liberty wherewith we are freed up, that liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Not sure you're on your way to heaven. If that's you, my friend, would you slip out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit. He would love to take a Bible and show you how you be sure. Don't go home tonight like I did for so many nights and worry about whether or not heaven's your home. That's not living free. Whatever God's put on your heart, I trust that you'd obey. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in church tonight, and I hope that you feel that. I know I'm not the only one that God's just touched, and I trust, not because I preach, that's for sure, but the song service was a blessing. And Brother Dan, why don't you come and lead us in that song, and we'll teach him again. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and we'll let it be our going home song, and I hope he'll sing it for us next Sunday night, possibly. We'll get it for a few Sunday nights and get it down, and I believe it'd be a great song for you to just sing as you go around your work tomorrow, around the house, wherever you're at. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I want to thank you again for being in church tonight. I did want to mention to you that next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock during the Sunday school hour, Amy and I will be having a meeting in the Family Life Center. We'll have some of those partitions up, and we'll have a light continental breakfast for anybody who's interested in joining the church. And maybe you've joined recently and you'd like to come, and I'll teach a lesson about the history, some of the church, and just where we stand and why. But perhaps you've been thinking about it, and God's leading you, you think, to come and join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, or you've joined recently. We'd love to meet with you next Sunday at 10 a.m. And you just come right in those doors of the Family Life Center. You'll see us over there to the right. There's a sign-up sheet on the table right in front of the glass wall before you leave. If you'd sign up, we know how much breakfast and things to get. And it'll just be a casual time that we'll have together, and we'll meet. We'll go over a few things. We'll fellowship, and then we'll dismiss, of course. We'll have to come to church at 11, and that's one of the requirements of my job. I got to be here 11, so I won't keep you long. And but maybe you're thinking about that, and you'd like to pray and come be with us. We'd love to have you on that. That'll be next Sunday at 10. Or like I said, or if you've joined recently and you'd like to come, we'd certainly love to have you then. Just sign up there so we'll know how much to get, and we'll have a great time. We're in preparation for Membership Sunday, and we'll highlight those that have been a member that have crossed over that 50-year mark. and of being members here at Buffalo Ridge. And so we're always, it's always a great time. Membership Sunday will be that first Sunday in May, and we'll have a good Sunday on that day as well. So we'll challenge you to be in that class if you're interested. So it's not next Sunday. See how far ahead we are in things? I was just giving that as a test run. That's not next week. That's the next week. Yeah. So Daniel gets a gold star. We're going to keep him on staff for this week because he caught that. And so it'll be 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. And so you got time to sign up. But sign up. We'll have a good time together. And I believe it'll be a great informative time, but also just a time. I really believe. Now, I know it's my pastor says, poor dog won't wag his own tail. So I believe that the Lord really is doing something special here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I really believe this is not just preacher talk. I believe the Lord's assembling some people to come, some that have been here long before, and now they're coming back, and we're thankful that God has just brought them in and had them off in different places, and now they're coming back, and others are joining us. I just believe the Lord is doing something, and I'm just thankful for what's happening. I'm thankful we get to be the pastor. I'm thankful we get to serve together. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I'm praising God for all of it. So, Brother Dan, lead us, and we'll go home. Oh, wait.
Officially make you an honorary member.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
The Oasis.
God bless you.
And actually, everybody in the room can be an honorary member of the Oasis tonight.
Now I don't feel so special. Everybody.
It'll be open for anybody to drop in. I appreciate the Nashes.
They're gone to unlock the door. So go with us to the scoop if you got time. So
thank you. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. There are things as we travel this earth shifting sand that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, have a great evening.